Mason in Ireland, Corporate Greg in the big CY, joining you here on a Friday before Xmas, as they call it. We're going to get to the Lakers in a little bit. They've lost, what, four straight now, Greg? Is that correct? That number is correct?
Four straight and five of six. That's,
they've lost
that's
four straight, five of six. I hope that banner keeps you guys warm at night. I'm going to read you guys some stats, though, from the Dodgers. Now, this is something that I thought about immediately when I saw, A, the amount of money that Shohei had signed for, never mind Yamamoto, and B, when I saw the situation regarding the deferrals come about. And follow me here on this example a little bit, Greg.
Okay.
When Lionel Messi signed with Miami, Inter Miami FC, whatever the proper noun is of that club, I apologize, I don't know it. When he signed with them, he not only got a certain amount of salary, he also got a piece of, I think, the Apple deal and a potential ownership bid or whatever. And the reason why is because it was sort of understood that part of the reason why Messi is coming to this league is to basically be somewhat of a social content creator, in that his mere presence was going to sort of the, what is it, a high tide raises all boats, that kind of thing, in terms of the type of money that the league could bring in and that the team could bring in. When I saw that number from Shohei in terms of what he signed for, I immediately thought to myself, well, ticket prices are 100% going up. There's just no way around that in terms of the way that you fill that gap. You can make a lot of money on selling advertising into other countries for people that want to see him. You can make a lot of cash on probably the place being, I don't want to say more full than it already is. It's one of the best attended stadiums in America. You can. But in general, what it means is that everything becomes more expensive. Greg, I don't know how many games you get to a year just as a regular Joe buying tickets and going, but do you think there's going to be a palpable difference from the ballpark experience from last year to next as a result of the kind of money they're putting out for their lineup?
So luckily we're blessed, you and I, where we can get to games for not very much or for, you know, getting tickets from somebody. But when I do go by myself, I do go a couple times by myself, mm-hmm. where I actually pay for all of it, parking, the whole thing. And 1,000% it's going to go up in every single sense. The parking's going to go up. The ticket prices are going to go up. The food price is going to go up. Beers, micheladas, the whole thing. Everything that's in that stadium is going to be much, much higher. And people are going to pay it because they want the championship. I was talking to Laura a little bit just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. When we were younger, going to a Dodger game, I'm sure it was the same for you, sitting in the upper deck, it was $6 to get a seat in the upper deck. You go with your family, you go with your dad, whatever. You sit there, you watch the game, and it's a wonderful experience. There's no chance upper deck tickets are $6 anymore.
Right.
They're all going to go completely up. And that's actually kind of sad to me with that many games, 81 games inside Dodger Stadium. That's the whole point of going to a baseball game, sitting with your dad. I know you love it.
Yeah.
You sit with your family. You just have a day at the park. It's really the only sport where you can go to the game and just relax, sit back, talk to your friends, watch the game, and just have a nice day out at the ballpark. And I think it's going to change that completely now.
Lara, when's the last time you went to the park?
I went last season, obviously, with people here from work.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But actually, I think it was Janice, and we paid for our tickets. She's a season ticket holder. But I was telling Greg, I was like, I love sports. I always wanted to go to sporting events. We couldn't afford Laker tickets, like, in this town. Yeah. A lot of people can't afford them now. We are just blessed because of what we do. And my dad worked really hard to be able to take us to Dodger Stadium. And I've talked about this a lot. It's just like we would always get that tiny little helmet with the ice cream. That was like our treat.
Yep.
Right? And he was able to afford, even if it was top deck, not always, but, you know, it was an experience for us as kids to spend with our dad. And it, as much as I love what they're doing, because I know it will bring championships to the city, it also kind of hurts because I know there's a lot of people that are not going to be able to go back to the ballpark anymore. And if they are, you know, it's limited.
This is a fascinating discussion to me because it gets at one of the things that I think about a lot, not just in terms of who I am as a fan myself, but in terms of what I write about and what I see when I go to different places, is what are folks actually looking for in the experience? And is it worth whatever the franchise is sort of trying to outwardly put forward that they want to do? I can't imagine that there's going to be how to explain this. I don't think it's going to be people chirping about championships in the same way of Dave firing Dave Roberts, Greg. But I think if all of a sudden going to Dodgers games puts you out of a month's rent and they can't win anything, that's when I think you'll see a lot more pushback from fans. It won't be about the manager. It'll be about, listen, if y'all aren't raking in the championships, well, you could at least, at the very least, not charge me $35 for a michelada, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it may be. I do think that there is something to be said for what's going to become of this experience, and is it going to price out the type of people, the loyal fans, that have made this franchise what they are to this day right now? It's something I think about quite a bit, Greg.
Yeah, so I think it does, like we're talking about, it's going to price them out, but I think all of that is connected. If you're not winning the championship, you have to blame somebody and somebody has to go, and you're not going to a different voice and that kind of thing. So I know you're saying it's not going to be the manager you're chirping for, but that's going to be the scapegoat in all of it. Because if you're going to start complaining about the ticket prices and the beer prices and all those other things, something has to change so you can say to your fans, hey, look, we're all in on this, and this is what's going to help move this forward. It may not work, but that has to be something.
Right, but I don't think a managerial change is going to change the fact that it's going to cost you $350 to go to a game with two people on a date, as you might say. That's not sort of what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is that the Dodgers better hope that whatever product they're putting on the field for these next 5 to 10 seasons are something that people genuinely like. Because if the prices are going to go to the point where it's only sort of a VIP luxury kind of corporate experience, well, then you've changed the entire fabric of what you're dealing with. And that's something I would hate to see as a result of, again, the Dodgers have one of the most loyal, best fan bases in all of baseball. Never mind, you know, in Los Angeles and certainly in all of sports. And so I always kind of looked at this team as one that, I don't want to say represented their community better than others, but we're starting to get to that point where you're thinking, man, this is getting really close to, if you're putting out this much money for players and you're not turning around championships every season, people have a right to be upset. And it's not just because of strategy, it's not just because of bragging rights, but if you're taking more money out of their pockets to produce not championship rings, that's tough, and I really would hate to see that for Dodgers.
No, I would too, but at the same time, I mean, you go to these Dodger games and you pay the amount that they're charging you because the games are fun and you enjoy the experience of being at a baseball game. And for you, you like to keep track of everything. You do the scorecard, right? So there are people that still do that, but they're still going to go, and that's why they can raise these prices, because everybody still wants to go because the entertainment is still there. No matter what, the in-game experience at a Dodger game is good. It's a strong one. So everybody's still going to go. If you're not winning championship, it's not going to be about how much money they spent.
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, I do think that there is a not everybody has a price, but you know, there is a limit on that. And I've seen this in other places, in other markets, where it's like all of a sudden going to games is for a completely different crowd. Once the team gets good, once the franchise decides that they want to start going a certain way, and it can alter things, you know. And I
agree.
As somebody that gets to a lot of parks, it's really unfortunate when you see that happen. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's a next year thing for the Dodgers, by no means. I think for the next 5 seasons, the simple draw of seeing Shohei alone will be worth people, for lack of a better term, selling out to be a part of. I think you said they don't win it this year. They got problems. I think if you get to the second half of Shohei's season,
contract, 5 years.
5 years, and they haven't won one, then you have issues. I think that's where it becomes a little bit feeling like a little bit of a different thing. That's just me. I do think that, when does Roberts' contract, they re-upped him for what, 4 years last year, is that right?
No, I don't remember what his exact contract is, so we have to look it up, but there's going to be basically, look, in the 10-year stretch, and I continue to say this, they need to win 3 championships for this to be a success. So however it works out in those 10 years, 3 is a success. Four and five are just icing on the cake of like, yes, this was an amazing contract. It all worked out. No matter what, winning 3 championships in 10 years is almost impossible. It hasn't happened since the Yankees won 4 out of 5. There hasn't been a back-to-back champion in baseball since the Yankees in early 2000. Like, it's that hard in baseball. So that's why there has to be a bit of a different expectation. 3 of them, there has to be 3 championships with Shohei.
That is an outrageous number to me.
Is that high or low outrageous?
I think that's extremely high. I just don't think that there's any single player or even two that you can sign to a team and say the expectations are now immediately, especially after never having won one in a full season, jump to three. Listen, do I think that that's foolish? No. But do I think that that's unhealthy? A little bit.
But it's not just one player. It's you still have Mookie, Freddie. Now you have Glasnow. Now you have Yamamoto. Now you have Bobby Miller, who's coming up. Walker Buehler's coming back. You have enough good, strong players. Will Smith, one of the better catchers in the entire game. You have the players. So it's not just the one guy. It's the one guy added to all of the other guys.
But you're saying this after Ohtani arrived.
For him, it's in his contract. For his contract to be successful, it's three championships.
Interesting. I do wonder if the Dodgers feel the same way. I really do.
Three.
Like, bro, they've won two since I've been alive. Maybe that's three because they won one the year I was born. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's over four decades. Three is a really high number.
It's a high number that I think that's they have to have that mindset. And that's why they did this, essentially. You go after Ohtani because you're going, and him deferring the money like we talked about before, is to go get guys to win championships. It's not, we talk about expectations, it's fan expectations. It's championship or bust always. And now it's even at a higher level. Of course, three championships doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility or even should happen.
From some data from a ticketing company called Logitix, before Ohtani, as in last year, average price for secondary market games for opening day, the home opener, $390. That is now up to closer to $1,000. That is a 152% increase. That, my friends, is a large number. I mean, again, I don't want to be sort of weird about this, but I know how cool it is for a big-time player to come to a market. But when things start changing around you to the point where you're like, man, sure, it's great to have this guy on this team, but I'm certainly not going to see him with my eyeballs anytime soon because I can't afford it. That's a tough feeling.
Yeah, it's tough. And I wonder what upper deck tickets are because those were always the cheapest and anybody can get in, and it's not the case anymore.
Yeah, it blocks a certain demographic out of the game. By the way, Dave Roberts' contract up at the end of 25. So that's what year that matters is.
Okay.
That's two more seasons. I don't think he gets fired before that ends. Coming up, we got to talk about your Lakers, Greg. This is not looking good. The banner looks great. The team does not. He's Greg Bergman. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Mason in Ireland. ESPN 710, kiddos.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland, the big CY, Corporate Greg. This is a lovely, lovely ditty.
This is really nice. This is beautiful.
Do you like Christmas music, Greg?
I do like Christmas music.
I like Christmas music a lot, too.
I listen to Christmas music in my car a lot. I watch Christmas movies at home by myself.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't mind.
Okay. So
I live alone.
No, I'm not judging because I love Christmas music. Like, Clint and I were talking about this earlier, and he, you know, you can see Christmas spill on my apartment. Like, that's how much I love it. And my boyfriend Christian hates when I play Christmas music. He goes, it's fine for the season. But he's like, who really loves Christmas music that they're playing it all year long?
No.
I was like, me.
You listen to it all year long?
I mean, no, but like, there's like, for example,
like
Chris Brown.
It's May 15th.
This Christmas.
You're listening to Christmas songs.
Okay, because I have Chris Brown in my playlist. This Christmas will pop up. I don't change it.
Sure.
I like vibe with it. Or like a random artist that has a Christmas song and it comes up in sync, right? Instead of, he's like, no, you would change it in the summer. I was like, I don't, because I don't mind it.
Didn't you go to an actual Christmas in July party at a bar?
Yes.
Right.
I love it. Like, I'm all in.
I like Christmas. I'm a seasonal holiday music person myself. I'm not really getting into it. I'm almost like, I don't even really like it before Thanksgiving, if I'm being honest. But in that moment, I love it. I'm a big fan of Christmas music.
In December, listening to Christmas music is just happy making.
It's an A-plus experience. What was the last Christmas movie you watched?
So I watched, what I watched last night, I was watching something after the game.
Good afternoon.
I just recently watched Spirited, but I watched this a movie on Amazon called Last Christmas.
Okay.
Was with Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, and it wasn't very good, but I watched the whole thing because it was a Christmas movie, and it just is like happy making.
Was it guy from hometown captures heart,
or no, was it actually
a woman from big city decides she no longer wants the big city life?
So no, it's actually a little bit different from all that. It's from 2019, so I'm gonna spoil it because who cares. But actually she got into an accident and she had a heart replacement. And she meets this guy that is just like cycling around the area. It turns out that the guy's dead and she got his heart. So she could see him. So she's walking around during Christmas time talking to him and doing all these things with him. But nobody can see him but her.
Wow.
Oh, that's
so that's like a sixth element. What is it called?
Sixth sense.
Element. What if I'm thinking fifth element.
It was fine. I mean, it was fine. It was a different take. I enjoyed it.
There is a movie whose name I can't remember right now.
Spoiler.
I think it's a Christmas movie where this guy, like, maybe it's not a Christmas movie, and I'm just thinking it's a Christmas movie, where this guy catfishes this girl, but they end up, like, falling in love. It's a whole thing.
Anyway. Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, there's one that is a Christmas movie where the girl sends a disc jockey letters. Is it that one?
And I don't think it's that one. It's the guy. The main character is Asian in the movie. He's Korean. And I think, I can't remember the name of the movie.
Oh, yes. And they want to meet or whatever for like a Christmas season. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know
is that
all
a Christmas
of this
movie?
Stuff. I believe it is. Yeah,
I think
but
it
I know
is.
Which one
anyway,
you're talking about. Yeah.
Way off into the distance on Christmas movies. That's fine, though. You can hit us up. Tell me what some of your favorite Christmas movies are. And I don't want to have a conversation about Die Hard. I'm a grown up. Okay. Get
it's such a stupid thing. It's not a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie. But that's not. It's not even a great Christmas movie. That's
it's not
point.
A great Christmas movie.
Yes, that's the point. It's a fine movie.
Just because Christmas is, I'm doing this. Just because there's Christmas in the movie doesn't make it a Christmas movie. Is Harry Potter a Christmas movie?
I don't know. I mean, Harry Potter also exists in a different like universe.
But it's around Christmas. They do things
okay,
around
let's try this
Christmas.
Again. Take Harry Potter off the table. Take Harry Potter off the table.
Okay.
Do movies that have humans doing human things.
But those humans. I mean, I can find other movies that have Christmas in them.
So okay,
it's not
I'll
based
ask you a
around
question.
Christmas. But he's not trying to get the bad guy because of Christmas.
No, but okay, what I'm asking you is, and this is sort of a separate but related question also, are Christmas movies movies that are about Christmas, or are they movies that you watch on Christmas? And that's two different things. And there's also an in-between there, which is a movie like my favorite Christmas movie of all time is The Godfather. That's a Christmas movie for me. You know why? Because I watch it on Christmas, and a major part of the movie goes down at Christmas. If you don't remember that, see the movie again, because you just don't recall.
No.
Yes. Like, that movie is about as closely related to any popular film I can think of about Christmas than any.
That is a mob movie. That is nowhere.
Yes.
That is
just because you don't know it like that doesn't mean
no,
that
for you. It is a Christmas movie for you.
Doesn't mean that
you.
I'm wrong. Yeah. The most pivotal scenes in that film are directly related to the fact that it's Christmas. Like, not even close.
A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie. Home Alone is a Christmas movie. The things that are about Christmas are Christmas movies. Other movies are
Polar
movies
Express.
That have Christmas just mixed inside of it.
Wow, this guy's a lot of fun at Christmas parties. How did your party go?
No, I am fun at Christmas parties. I get drunk and I'm a really happy guy.
How did your holiday shindig go, Laura?
Oh, it was actually really fun. I do an ugly Christmas sweater and I force everybody, Clinton knows this, I force yes. everybody to wear an ugly sweater. I'm like, if you don't bring one, you're not getting in.
This people is the opposite of how I'll be throwing parties.
Yes,
by the
people want to try me and say, oh, I'm just going to show up. Show up and trust you are not going to be let in. So everybody came with the festive mood. They have, somebody brought a Chucky sweater. They're like, that's the ugly part. And they just decorated with Christmas stuff. I was like, I don't care how you want to play it. Just bring
okay.
a sweater.
All right. So you don't gatekeep on what qualifies as an ugly sweater.
No. You just got to be in the mood and be festive. So it was cool. You know, there was food, a little bit of drinks, nothing crazy. We're grown. We old. Like, we just want to vibe and have a good time. It was fun.
Yesterday on the program, Greg.
Yes.
Kevin Blackstone, the professor, as he's known. He won the show, and he's told a story about how his partner threw out his eggnog that he had been aging for a year.
Oh, no.
In his refrigerator.
Why?
And he was trying to sell us on the idea that this is like some kind of an elevated experience that people like do a lot. Are you familiar at all with aged eggnog as a thing?
No, not in the slightest. But why did his partner throw it out?
Because
so
it had been
Christmas.
There for a while, and they were thinking the same thing everybody else was. Is why you got
it's
this
trash.
Eggnog out here in the back of the daggone fridge?
If it's yes. a year old,
right? But if he was doing that, you had to have known.
That's not the point here. The point that there is a relationship as far as how they handle their fridge is one thing. My question to you is: would you ever drink? Like, if I told you, "Hey, I got some eggnog for you." Oh yeah, where'd you get it? Well, it's been in my fridge for a year. Like. Would you drink that?
Like, is this some kind of like ayahuasca thing where it's going to take me to a whole new world? Like, if maybe that's the case, I'll think about it. But no, probably
to KB's
not.
Credit, he is more of he's like a bourbon kind of guy. So
oh,
I think
too.
It's like an aging thing. It's for those kind of snobs.
Oh, is it in a barrel?
I don't know where it was. I don't know what it was in. But
you didn't
I'm just
ask
saying,
questions,
like,
Clinton.
I did ask questions, okay. But it was thrown away. So he was more mad about that. He wasn't trying to break it down for me. But he did explain that this is a thing. I can pretty safely say, ain't no daggone world in which I'm drinking something that's been in your fridge for a year.
Nope.
Just not happening.
That's
no
gross.
Way, no how. It's totally disgusting.
I won't use ketchup that was in my fridge for a year.
Anyway, speaking of Christmas gifts.
Okay.
The Lakers have gotten a Christmas gift in that they have one, let's just say, present they've unwrapped and hung in the banners. But they've lost, would you say, five out of six?
Five out of six.
Last four in a row. They're at 10th. In the West right now, just above the Dubs at 15 and 14. You know, I hear a lot of people calling for Darvin Ham's head. I even see rumors, names like Doc Rivers are floating around my desk,
no,
all
Doc
sorts
Rivers.
Of other goofy names. You know, where are you right now with your Lake show, Gregory?
So, I mean, it's disappointing. I think it was to be expected the first maybe three or four games. I think now it's getting to a point of like, okay, something is wrong specifically, because I get the whole thing with the hangover after the championship. I understand this championship.
Wait,
I'm gonna explain to you.
Okay.
I'll let you know. So because it's not about that they won a championship, it's the fact of how you have to ramp yourself up when you normally don't, in a time you normally don't. For LeBron James specifically, he does not ramp himself up to play this much defense that he played in that tournament until March or April. And he had to ramp himself up for that and get him to a high level that he's not used to recently being at in December. So I think that for him, I expected him to be there, be a drop. You have to go to win a championship. You have to push yourself to a higher level. There's going to be a drop. I completely understand that. I don't think it's a great excuse, but I understand it. Now it's getting to the point of like, okay, some things are wrong here. Everybody is back. You have everybody healthy. Even Gabe Vincent is back and healthy, even though he didn't play in the last game. There's just something that needs to be changed. I don't think it's Darvin Ham right now. I understand the whole thing with the rotations and how often they use different people. It's just you're getting these guys ready to go from now on. The one thing that actually makes me happy is that I can see this team, with a snap of a finger, turn it on and be very, very good. So there's something there. I think they still are missing a few key pieces, though.
I would say that if I listened to all of that logic and added it up to come out with something on the end of equation, at the end of an equation, then one might say that the in-season tournament is not a good thing for the Lakers. You know, and that's
sure.
That's an interesting concept. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder, because if we're going to take seriously the idea of a tournament hangover in the middle of December, that to me is a very awkward place to be, just in terms of what you're thinking about. If you're a team and you say, yeah, we want to win this tournament, we want to show we can turn it around, it's still just regular season games. If you end up winning this tournament at the cost of being in the top eight, like, or whatever, top six, that's not what you want, because you just don't have enough man hours to get that kind of play out of your team. I did like the fact that they won it in the sense that they seemed motivated.
Yeah.
Now that it seems to have come at the cost of other games in such a long stretch, I don't know that I can say how worth it that is. particularly if LeBron, and you know, I'm being a body language expert here, but you know, you see him after these games, he looks exhausted. Like it's a completely different kind of experience in year whatever 20 this is of LeBron James. You know, after that, not just after that tournament, but since this season has started, and you know, obviously everything with the family and Bronny has kind of, you know, sort of made him reevaluate priorities and all this kind of stuff. I get that, but like, whoo. It is a slog right now in Lakers land.
It absolutely is, and I don't think you're wrong. It could be a problem. There's two things can be true at once. Thank you, George Sedano. That base, the tournament was a success. What they did was they got you excited, fans and players excited for games in December. But it did come at the expense of other things. So is it good for the Lakers? No. Is it good for the Lakers that they won a championship? Sure. So they're kind of two different levels. But if it was my choice, of course not. Don't go win that tournament. Indiana is also flailing right now because they were in there. And it also, I don't know if they're connected, but it seems like it is. So, no, I don't think the in-season tournament is overall a good thing for the Lakers.
I'm with you. Yeah, no, I didn't. I watched that game last night. There's something about this team where there's certain games where you're watching, you're just like, I just don't think they can win this game. You know, there's a talent level thing that's happening where there's always this assumption where, oh, they could do this if such and such happened. The games they could win, those almost always end up being the games they don't win. And you know, it's unfortunate to see because at some point I'm just sort of thinking like, is this really just a matter of talent? Is it a matter of rotations? Is it a matter of depth? And I actually think it's the first one in this case. It's not like they're necessarily outmatched by good teams that they play, Greg.
No.
It's just that they're never going to overcome. It feels like it's very difficult for them to overcome any sort of adversity or even being down at all if they haven't gotten out on the front foot and can keep a lead.
They don't have, you're right, the talent level is, it's much better, and I like the continuity of it, but there's things missing, and there are pieces that are... don't fit into the equation. They still need a big. They need another big alongside Anthony Davis because Jackson Hayes is just not it. He can only play 4 or 5 minutes anyway. And Christian Wood is not going to be playing any defense whatsoever. They need another big. They still need more shooting. I think they're going to start getting more shooting, but that's going to have to come at the expense of somebody else. And I think a guy like D'Angelo Russell is going to have to move because of the size of his contract. They need specific pieces. And maybe it's also a point guard that's a real point guard with speed and has decision making. I think there's just certain things that are missing, mm-hmm. and they don't have it right now.
You know, I do find it somewhat fascinating that I don't know who it is on the communities who calls him Coach Hamon, but yeah. I think it's interesting that I see him as a much more expendable piece than I do Dave Roberts in this entire equation. I really honestly do. If we're going to do that comparison, and I hate intra-sports comparisons.
Yeah, it's hard.
But we're doing them for the sake of the fact that we're obviously in the same town. I could see the Lakers saying, look, there's not a whole ton of time left on whatever it is we're doing with this particular set of guys. By that, I mean Reeves, AD, and LeBron. If we can find a spark plug, so to speak, from a leadership standpoint, that can just maybe max out this season and next, they would give it a rip. But I don't necessarily know if they've got the gumption to do that because there's just been so much turnover at that position recently, and ultimately it's still LeBron's team, you know?
Yeah, that's the part. That's the biggest part of it. It's LeBron's team, and he's going to – if LeBron wants him there, he's staying. But at the same time, like, coaches in basketball actually changed – the game more than managers in baseball. They have much more effect on the game by who they pull out at a certain time, who they bring in. Like, do they only give 20 minutes to Rui Hachimura when they gave 38 to Taurean Prince or whatever it happens to be? Like, there's difference that
time
affects
outs,
the game.
Clock management, yeah.
Exactly. There's a lot more things that come into play in a basketball game than in a baseball game. But so yes, he is more expendable, but if LeBron wants him there, he's there. And also, I'll say this. Coach Ham actually did a very good job with the defense of this team. When they were playing in the tournament and when they were playing in the postseason, their defense was ramped up and playing very, very well. So that has to be on him as well.
Okay. But by that logic, the whole checked out new voice thing is also at play there. I'm very interested to see when this franchise makes either a commit, you know, sure, you can ride out the whole season with the roster that you have and just kind of hope the chips fall where they may and perhaps scratch into a play-in effort and maybe you end up beating somebody. I've said all season, I think that this team is better built for the playoffs because facing one opponent over and over for a team with that kind of brain trust and those kind of smarts and that kind of age is better for them than facing different teams night in and night out. I think that at some point, you've got to realize that's probably how you're going to get into this. It's not necessarily going to be gunning for that sixth seed because you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you overdo it and A, AD gets hurt, or B, LeBron gets hurt. I think that you've got to sort of reevaluate where your schedule is, especially if you've won the tournament and you know that you can turn it on at some point. That's the only real value of that right now, is that you can say, hey, all right, we got something, but we got to figure out who we are until we get back to that situation in which we're in another win or go home situation.
No, totally with you on that. And you're absolutely right. And he will be expendable if that has to happen.
So coming up, we are going to listen to some words from a baseball player who doesn't play anymore, but he has played with Yamamoto. I'm Clinton Yates. He's Corporate Greg. This is Mason in Ireland on ESPN 710. We always love soulful renditions here at ESPN 710. Mason in Ireland, your boy, the Big CY, and Corporate Greg. Shouts to everybody watching on YouTube. Okay, so we got some feedback from the Mafia. The movie I was talking about is called Love Hard. It's on Netflix, and I will read to you, Gregory,
the description. Oh, I saw this movie.
You saw it?
I saw it, yeah.
For those of you who don't know what it is, the description goes as follows, listeners. An LA girl, unlucky in love, falls for an East Coast guy on a dating app and decides to surprise him for the holidays, only to discover that she's been catfished. This lighthearted romantic comedy chronicles her attempts to reel in love. That movie is not that lighthearted, by the way. There are some extremely emotional scenes in that bad boy. If you are thinking that is some Hallmark walk through the park, it is not. It will question your thoughts about who you think you are in the dating streets. Some other correspondence.
It was Jimmy Yang, right? It was the
I've seen this movie. It's pretty good.
It's a good movie.
It's a highly underrated. Like, it was one of those deals where I turned it on. It was the middle of the night. I was trying to get to sleep, and I was like, all right, I'll just turn this on and zonk out, thinking no big deal. I ended up being quite interested in it, and I liked it a lot. So that's always good.
And then didn't go to sleep for 2 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody says, Raider Deb asks, what did you think about Eddie Murphy's Candy Cane Lane? I have not seen that.
Oh,
I watched it.
Okay, let's get the reviews.
It was odd. I don't know what you thought about it, Laura, but it was odd.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. For those of you who have not seen it or have not heard of it, please describe what it's about.
So it's about a guy who lives on Candy Cane Lane. And there's a big, like, $100,000, you win $100,000 or something like that if you win the contest of the best house.
So this is a new thing that they did, right? So Eddie Murphy is the main person, and he does, his decorations are like wood carvings. That's his thing. And everyone else is doing the blow-up dolls. And there's like this rinky-dinky, like, show that's on their local programming, you know, nothing big, that says, hey, we are going to do this contest for 100K for the Candy Cane Lane people. So everybody's going all in. And then he loses his job. So then, of course, the 100K is going to be the best thing that ever happened to him and his family. So he randomly finds this store. What is it called? Kringles?
Or? Yeah, it's a Christmas store.
It's a Christmas store. And he goes nuts and buys all these things. And then essentially the person that he was dealing with was like an evil elf. You know, so it's just
okay.
Odd.
So there's a supernatural, magical, paranormal element to this. It's not like a real life movie.
No, it's not a real life movie.
There's magic in there.
There's an evil elf that he has to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is anybody else of record that I would know in this film?
Yes.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah, Tracy Ellis Ross.
I love her.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That would qualify.
Yeah,
for
Tracy
sure.
Ellis Ross.
That's somebody
like,
I'm interested.
Her.
In seeing, yeah, okay.
So it was pretty good. It's something you can watch, and it's different from everything
Santa,
else you watch.
Santa too. I love the twist with Santa.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to. No,
I'm not spoiling.
This is a new movie.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling. I just said I like the twist with Santa. You can Google it.
Where did you see it?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
but I also like the Ludacris one on Hulu Plus.
There's a Ludacris
Christmas movie. Yeah.
What's it called? I'm not familiar with this.
I saw it on, I will look for the name, but I'm telling you, I'm a Christmas movie.
Ludacris sounds like the perfect person to be in a Christmas movie. Like, what's taking
really
that
does.
So long?
It.
I love that guy.
You know, shout out to him. He's actually Disney in Plus. That movie, Fred Kloss. He's like the little DJ. I just saw that the other night, and Ludacris randomly is the DJ in that.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's like a little elf.
On all Fred right. Kloss?
Yeah,
really?
Fred Kloss, yeah.
Mm. I've seen that one too.
That's good to know.
I'm that like is... such a Christmas. Is it Dashing Through the Snow?
No, I Love Hard. No, so I recommend, I genuinely recommend Love Hard for anybody who hasn't seen it. It is funny. There are like, it's a little, I don't want to say like controversial, but you know, there are certain parts of it that are, you know, quite interesting in terms of how it investigates, you know, how people sort of feel about each other based on things like catfishing. I've never been catfished after a cross-country trip to meet somebody that I've been talking with.
Have
but,
you gone
you know,
cross
for those
country?
Who have you I'm gone? I'm glad that it might have turned out into a great Christmas movie. That's just me. Mm. So.
Have you gone across country to meet someone that you were talking on to on an app?
Not on an app, but yeah, that's happened before. So we don't
oh,
have
so
to,
someone you didn't know what they looked like. You got on a
I
plane.
I knew what they looked like. I'm okay, just saying okay. I didn't know them. I'd never met them before.
You had never met them. So they, yep. I mean, you know what they look like could very well not be them.
Yeah, that's true, but you know. I knew who this
what
person
you
was.
Thought.
But you were not.
A lot of people in America knew who this person was, so.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
He's just dropping names. Do you want to pick that up?
Okay, so the,
ruin everybody's Christmas with stories of me.
So the Disney movie that Luda's in and stars in is called Dashing Through the Snow.
Okay.
It's actually good. Right. I liked it.
I'll check that out.
Dashing Through the Snow. All right, I need I'll something to watch out. Tonight, so.
I am in candle mode. I've gotten my ordered some holiday candles
oh,
from Target.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a big Target. Candle guy?
I wouldn't say I'm a big candle guy, but not unlike...
Or a candle guy in general?
Not unlike Christmas carols. When the carols are caroling or the songs are playing, the candles are part of the operation.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly this time of year. No doubt about it.
It's a vibe,
Speaking
man.
Of this time of year, to quote Sedano, what's up with the Rams? The Rams are like winning football games, acting like they're trying to be relevant. Are we supposed to be believing? What's happening here? I'm seeing pictures of Emily over there at SoFi. I got guys coming in town for Saints fans trying to... You know, watch this team play. They're leaving in bitter disappointment. Are the Rams going to make the playoffs, Greg?
Oh, yes, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to go 10-7 too. So they're going to be squarely in the playoffs as a wild card. I've built a narrative for myself about the Rams for the last 2 years about okay. how they were trying to tank, and this is all it was all kind of planned. And you know, after last year, it was going to be a terrible year again. This year, when they got to 3-6, I said, just tank, go directly towards tank for Caleb because Matthew Stafford's going to be injured and it's going to be a problem. I was 1,000% wrong on all of it because what they have right now is actually really, really impressive. Their offensive line has been one of the best offensive lines in football. Whatever they did to build that back up, build it back up, Steve Avila has been a huge get for them in the draft. That left guard has completely changed that whole offensive line, and now you're being able to protect Matthew Stafford and get the ball to guys like Kyren Williams, who has been fantastic when he's in the game. Cooper Kupp is starting to become Cooper Kupp again towards the end of the season, right when you need it. Puka Nacua is one of the best. One of the best offensive rookies ever. Period. End of story. And I don't know where DeMarcus Robinson came from, but he's been absolutely fantastic. So this offense that they have can be dangerous in the playoffs. Probably not Super Bowl, but the offense is very, very dangerous, and the defense is kind of just figuring themselves out.
Kyren Williams, by the way, had the moment of the night yesterday, flipping a ball yeah. to his mom in the crowd. You gotta love to see that. I very selfishly, and by selfishly I mean simply because this would entertain me more than anything, I'm of the agreement with you. I don't necessarily know how far the Rams can go, but you never know. Injuries happen and teams catch breaks and playoff runs happen. They got to play the Lions in the playoffs. I mean, this is what America needs. You trade your quarterbacks for each other with that kind of pomp and circumstance around both of them, and you find a way to meet them both back in the playoffs after one is going in another direction and one already won the Super Bowl. That would be amazing if Matt Stafford was the guy they were facing off in the first time they hosted a playoff game in forever.
Oh, it would be incredible. The script is written there for you. So, yeah, Matt Stafford going back to Detroit to play at on that field, come on now. It's too good not to happen. They have to make sure somehow, because they can't go up. They're not going to pass either the Eagles or the Cowboys, but they can go down to 7 because they're 6 right now. But so right. as long as it stays right there, if it stays right there, they'll play each other, and it seems like it's going to happen. So,
Greg, did you
fantastic.
End up going to the game? Sorry to cut you off.
I did not go to the game yesterday.
You lied.
I didn't lie.
You said, what I'm going to go.
Okay, so I was going back and forth all day yesterday.
He was.
I didn't
we thought we won.
I didn't want to go to the game. I didn't want to. we had this conversation yesterday, but I think football games are least exciting sports to go to live, period. Out of all of them, they're the worst sport to go to live. They're still great to go to, but the worst of the four. And I just didn't want to go. And Jorge and Laura were trying to convince me to go.
Like, go.
I was convinced.
Go.
What was the situation, though? Like, were you sitting in the nosebleeds? Were you?
No,
I had a credential.
Were you throwing money with Blueface out there? Or what was going on?
No, it was a credential, so I would have been sitting in the press box.
Oh, okay,
looking
so it was
down.
A press situation. Okay.
Yeah, so it would have been like that. But it actually worked out really well for me because I got to go home and watch the Rams game. I got to watch the Lakers game.
Okay.
And I got to talk about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So
all
of it came together. It was better that I went home.
So the only reason I asked is because this morning when I took Em to the airport and we were, you know, I was driving her up to the airport
at 3 a.m.
You know what? Actually, I want to talk. I want that whole story.
Yes, so do I.
I want that whole story. Should we do it on the other side, Greg?
Let's do it.
We
at,
do what's
do
up, fool.
Let's do it at 3.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, what's up, fool? I'm Clinton Yates. He's Corporate Greg. This is Mason in Ireland on ESPN 710.
Laura's going to take it away.
All right.
All right, I think I'm actually going
to
give you the first one here.
That was an A-plus relay right there.
Nice.
Fumbled it between three people. Brian, take it away. Welcome to Mason in Ireland, everybody, here on 710.
All right, guys. So, you know, holidays are here. Christmas time, Hanukkah, all that good stuff.
Sure.
I've had a bunch of gifts as a kid that, you know, just very memorable and have, you know, changed my life kind of deal. I got the basketball hoop, the bike, you know, the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. My question to you guys is, do you have any one or two memorable gifts that you got the holidays that, like, just stand out far and a wide, you know, above the rest?
I'll go last on this one.
So the thing that the most exciting gift I ever got as a kid, and it's probably pretty obvious for a lot of people, but I got the original Nintendo NES, and it was
nice.
The most exciting thing that me and my brother have ever gotten. That's the thing that you wanted. You're always like, it was brand new and it was all so exciting. We played that thing nonstop all week, as much as we could possibly play. We were playing it, you know, you're taking out the cartridges and blowing on because it doesn't work, even though you're not supposed to.
Right.
But, weirdos.
But yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Changed me.
Hold on, what's your Christmas setup in terms of how you guys do that?
So it's a Hanukkah thing for us. So
okay.
So we get one
holiday setup is what I was trying
holiday
to say.
Okay. So we got one big gift.
Okay.
And otherwise, the other 7 days were all little things, like we got socks or a toothbrush or a T-shirt or a hat. I was really excited when I got the hat.
Aww.
So soap. Like, we didn't get things. We got just one big gift, and we can choose at the beginning of it or at the end.
I know some people of the tribe choose to celebrate Christmas just as a sort of a retail function as well. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, no, we did not.
Okay, very well. Laura?
So I had a few gifts that I feel like marked me. Definitely the Nintendo one's one. I think that was like a collaborative one with the siblings, right? Mm-hmm. So back in the day, there were these dolls, Beverly Hills 90210 dolls, like kind of Barbie dolls that came out. And I wanted them so bad because my sisters used to watch Beverly Hills 90210. And my mom's like, no, no, no. But she ended up getting me the collection. God knows where those dolls are. They probably are worth money.
Right.
But I loved them so much that I didn't even take them out of the box. I just wanted to look at them.
Wow. Old school collector move.
Yeah. I'm weird like that. I like to collect things. So I was like, oh, that's probably what kickstarted my collection kind of mode. But everything I've ever gotten, like all the collectors, like the NSYNC string dolls and stuff, I have no idea where they are.
No. So absolutely. You're not a hoarder.
No.
Okay.
I want it in that moment.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh, it's probably going to be worth money. And then I'm like, yeah.
It never is. There was a Beanie Baby movie about that. It was
dude,
pretty good.
The vase that I told you in the thrift store. You never know.
Send me a photo of the 90210 dolls you're talking about because those are not jogging my memory, but I would like to see them.
All right, let me see.
Personally.
Did you see Wrestling Buddies? Those were good too.
No. What are Wrestling Buddies?
It was like Hulk Hogan as a plushie. And
Yeah. I remember those. Yeah. I definitely remember those. So the one gift I really remember, because it caused a little bit of, I don't want to say controversy in my household, but so my older sister is 10 years older than I am. We are both our dad's children. And when she was in college, I would have been, I was like 8, 9, 11, 12 years old. So when I was, I want to say 9 years old, one Christmas, and this was, I mean, this is the last Christmas I can really remember that, like, both of my parents were actually in the same place at the same time. That's another discussion. They got me something that was in a really big box. And, like, I already had a Nintendo, and, like, I wasn't really sure, like, where this was going, and I didn't really know what it was. And I had opened all this other stuff, and I was fine with it. I was never a big – I was never a kid that wanted a lot of stuff. I just, you know, liked what I kind of had. And so they were like, no, there's one more. And I was like, oh, okay. And I opened this thing up, and it was one of those record player on top, radio, two-deck, and a CD player. But wow. This was in, like, 1990. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't, like, late 90s when there was an Iowa on every bookshelf and every college desk in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a child. I wasn't even in middle school yet. And suddenly I had a CD player, and my sister was not happy about that because it took her to get to college before she got one. And she had to beg my dad for one. And here I was, this little kid that suddenly had this stereo system that was going to go in my bedroom as a child. Needless to say, I suddenly became interested in a lot more things than, you know, let's just say schoolwork, because I was entertaining myself with all the music that I was suddenly into. You know, right then and there. And I remember they got me a couple of CDs to go with it. And the one I will never forget was Guy, The Future, which is one of the best R&B albums of all time, if you don't know anything about that.
I don't know. What was your first, that was your first CD ever that you got?
Yeah. The first tape I ever bought was Too Short, The Ghetto.
Hey. You
know, oh, no, nice.
Banger.
What's up, fool?
Exactly.
All right. So Greg and I actually had this conversation earlier in the week.
We did?
I'm about to tell you. What it was about. Relax, sir. If you didn't know, but you will find out, the Apple Watch was pulled back due to patent situations, and there's like some kind of drama. The Series 9 and the Ultra 2 were pulled on December 21st, and physically from the stores, it'll be the 24th. So I told Greg, does this really matter to you? Are you going to go and get a watch? You know, because a lot of people, that's like a gift that they're trying to get their significant other, whoever, right? That's like a gift, like a legit gift. So is this going to be a thing that is going to interrupt your holiday shopping? That's my first question. And two, I don't believe that they're actually having patent issues. I have like this whole conspiracy of why they're doing it.
Okay, so let's get into that. I'm not really sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying they're pulling, as Kaplan would say, let me get this straight.
and then repeat everything you just said.
Right. So
it's okay.
They're pulling Apple Watches off the shelf. I've misunderstood that.
Yes. So they are discontinuing, quote unquote. There's literally a ban. That's what they're calling it.
Okay.
Because they are infringing on patents, and it's due to the oxygen. You know, they can read your oxygen. Certain, mine can't, is old. I have a Series 5.
Okay.
But the Series 9, which, I mean, that's how old my watch is, and the Ultra 2 are being pulled physically from the stores. Actually, they got pulled yesterday. And, I'm sorry, they got pulled from online. Now I'm getting all confused.
Okay,
and
no,
from the
bad.
Stores, no, from the stores, the 24th. Essentially, my thing is, does this interrupt your shopping? A,
right.
Because you wanted to get
is
that for somebody.
Is there a run on Apple Watches that right. have this shiesty technology?
Yes. And two, I feel like this is a ploy by Apple to get you to run and buy the watches. Because if there's a patent issue, wouldn't you just pull them right away?
Pretty much. Do you want to take it first, Clinton?
No, you can go.
All right. So I am not going to go out and get an Apple Watch. I would
just
because
get
of
me
this.
One?
No, oh. I'm sorry. If I get one for one, I have to get for all, and I can't do that.
You're balling.
So I've always wanted an Apple Watch, but I'm not just because it's being pulled is not making me want to go out there. But that is a ploy, I believe. That
I think so.
It is them saying I want. Well, we're taking away. Now you really want it. It's a supply and demand kind of thing.
How much do Apple Watches cost? Like, what would that be?
$3,000?
$3,000?
No.
$300 to $1,000?
They're not $1,000.
Yes. Oh, actually, yes. Yeah. So it depends what you get. Like, if you get the basic model, it's like $300 or whatever. Do you want cellular function on there, which I don't understand?
Yep.
My friend, one of my best friends, he was like, I'm going to get an Apple Watch because he went Apple. He was Android. He went Apple all the way. And we were going to buy him the Apple Watch. He's like one of my brothers. This fool wanted the Hermes, like, 50. I think he spent over $2,000 on his watch. I'm like, look, son, I love you, but I don't got the kind of money right now. If I did, I'll buy it for you. So we ended up getting him AirPods. But I was like, that's a lot of money for a watch. That the basic one does the same function. It's just that one was, like, the Ultra Max top of the line one.
So, yeah. Okay. I'm $1,000, even for an Apple product is a lot. Like,
I mean, our phones cost a lot.
Right, but that's, I mean, the phone does everything the watch does. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not really sure I'm understanding, Brian. Like, where, why would I, I'm not trying to be some honk either, some old guy. I'm just like, my dad has one. He uses it to keep his vital signs. That's quite frankly what he uses it for, as a medical anything. But like, I can't think of one good reason why I need an Apple Watch.
I love my Apple Watch, man. I'm always going to be like, go get it.
It's so you can look at your watch when you get a text message and go,
okay.
That's it.
No, no, because I...
And now I'll ignore it.
Personally, for me, it was a health thing. Like, I wanted to regulate, like, my steps and all that and kind of my workout habits, and that helped me. But, I mean, if you have no function for it, it's like, okay, cool, I get you. But I still say get it.
Until they can display holograms, like, Star Wars style, so that, like, if you FaceTime me, I can, like, see a vision of you looking like Tupac on stage at, you know, Coachella back in the day. You know, until that happens, till an actual human pops up out of my phone, like Obi-Wan, I'm not, I don't need it. If there's nothing I can do more, if I'm just transferring my phone to my wrist, I definitely don't need a watch. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. That's why I'm not getting it.
Mm. Anyway, is that all we got?
That's all we got.
Yep. All right.
Coming up, we are going to discuss the fact that Laura is like the nicest person on earth because she's willing to drive them all over the place. I'm the Big CY. He's Corporate Greg. This is Mason and Ireland on ESPN 710.